In 2019, the way we watch television is very different than it was just 10 years ago. But one thing that doesn't seem to be changing are barriers to entry for certain communities. According to UCLA's latest Hollywood diversity report, in the 2015 to 2016 TV season, Latinos accounted for only 5% of on-screen roles in digital shows, which is one reason why, three seasons in, Netflix's sitcom One Day at a Time remains all too unique of a show.
This is it. This is life, the one you get to go and have a ball.
The show centers on the Cuban-American Alvarez family, single mother Penelope, her two kids Elena and Alex, and grandmother Lydia, played by the legendary Rita Moreno. In the season 3 premiere, the Alvarezes experience a death in the family, but still find plenty of humor along the way.
It's your tia Ophelia. She's dead.
Oh my God, Mommy, that's terrible. Who is she again?
Behind the scenes of One Day at a Time is a writer's room that's about 50% Latino and more than 50% women. And overseeing the entire production is Gloria Calderon-Kellett, the show's executive producer and co-showrunner. And ahead of the show's third season premiere on February 8th, I sat down with Calderon-Kellett to talk about her show and why it has such a devoted fan base.
I think largely it's seeing yourself on screen. I think that there is a real starvation of positive portrayals of Latinos right now on television. And still, the majority of that are largely stereotyped, you know, gangbangers and drug dealers and negative, criminalized versions of the Latinx experience. And so, as someone who did not grow up in, you know, any form of gang violence or, you know, I just had two parents that were immigrants but came here, and I grew up in a very Cuban community, and then when I moved to San Diego, a very Mexican and a Latin American community, and these were all hardworking, good people that had kids and loved their families, and then to see that never reflected on television was odd. And then you think about people in parts of the country that have never met a Latino person, and their only experience of us is this very damaging experience that they're seeing on their televisions. You know, that's rough. And I think that that does really affect how people see this community. And so to be able to have a job where I'm getting to tell stories about my family and honor them, but also show my community that I see us and that I can positively portray us is incredibly powerful. I'm so grateful to be able to do it.
What about with the actual content? It's one thing to get the casting. It's another thing to really tackle different types of issues. Some are these really intense societal issues that we're seeing happening today. One of the shows that you guys did focuses on toxic masculinity, for example.
Abuelita, you are an enabler of toxic masculinity.
Oh, please, I do not enable toxic men. I clean Papito's room twice a day.
No. It's how society has encouraged men to define their maleness as being aggressive, unemotional, sex-obsessed.
You're just describing a man.
How do you tackle a topic like that without hitting viewers over the head, but also getting the point across?
I think it really starts from the characters. You know, we had written these characters that felt very real to me. You know, my mom is much more traditional, old-school Catholic Cuban. First generation, and I am in the middle. I'm sort of a moderate. I like some of the old traditional stuff, and I embrace some of this new stuff that I'm learning from this next generation. And then, you know, we have a lot of queer writers in the room as well who are educating me daily on how to be a better ally, how to embrace this next generation and what they care about and what is important to them. And so we really have these conversations in the room from our actual points of view, and the conversation and the fighting and the misunderstandings and the all of that stuff that happens in the room are the texture of what appears on screen. We really just take those conversations and misunderstandings and jokes that we make amongst one another and filter them through the characters.
Getting into the writer's room is hard enough. Directing and getting in front of the camera, getting in front of and behind the camera is no easy feat. And you have been able to do both this season. Tell us a little bit about that experience. I mean, I can tell you I'm sitting here as a national syndicated radio host in public radio, and I'm one of the few Latinas in this role, if any. So, right. You know, so I mean, I get asked the question a lot. I'm going to lob it over to you. How does it feel? And what did you do? And how does it work?
It's so interesting because on one hand, it feels wonderful, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I got to do it. And I very much want to crush it so that it will open more doors. And then on the other hand, it's wildly frustrating to be the first because you're like, how is this possible? How is it possible that I managed to make it through? And how did I get so lucky? I will say it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to finally have this opportunity, but I feel like I had to create, you know, when people are like, how did you become a director? I said, well, go create a show.
Mm-hmm. Go
and
create
then you get
it.
To, yeah, go create it. So that has to be how I tell people to do it because that was my way in. That was my shot is that I got to create it for myself.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wonder, I mean, there is something to be said for institutional change for sure, and that is slow and often long and coming, but I do believe in also trying to create it and shake some trees on your own. Tell us about the audience just before we wrap.
The audience is amazing. It's amazing. But I will say the first audience is the writer's room because, you know, first season we talked about, I would say things in Spanish a lot. And if it would get a laugh from the white guys, I'd put it in because I felt like, growing up, I didn't know what certain things were. I was a, you know, Cuban American girl watching white television and having to place myself in those situations. So I know the opposite can be true because I did it the other way, right? But the Spanish and the language was a thing that I really didn't want to translate. I really wanted people to Google words if they liked it or rewatch if they wanted to try to translate it because that's what I would do. I would take out my encyclopedia if I didn't know certain words. And so there's like it becomes a bit interactive in that experience. And it also felt more authentic to be able to just have them rattle off Spanish here and there. In fact, Phil Lord, who's a fellow Cuban American who did Into the Spider-Verse and a million other things, we were talking this week about this very thing because he didn't translate the Spanish and Into the Spider-Verse. And he said people loved the authenticity of that. And they're talking about that. It's a talking point for them. So it adds to the flavor and texture of the show, which I love. And then, you know, you have people that are now Googling what certain Spanish words mean, which is really, really fun. But our audience is mixed. You know, sometimes they'll be laughing because they just know it's funny theoretically. And sometimes I remember when we did a Vicks VapoRub joke that all the Latinos in the audience started laughing. But then on Twitter, people will be like, that's how my family feels about Windex, or that's how my family feels about X, Y, and Z. So they were able to see something that was very specific to the Latinx community and see that they had something in their own community that was similar so that they could understand the experience. And it speaks to Norman's entire process. He feels like specificity is universal and that, you know, we are all having this human experience together. And the more we can kind of focus on our common humanity, the better the world will be. And I couldn't agree more.
I forgot. You also get to work with Norman Lear, Gloria.
Yes.
I mean, this is like a really...
It's an embarrassment of riches.
It really is.
It really is. There is not a day that I am on that set that I don't feel so incredibly grateful to the journey that my grandparents took in making the very difficult decision to send their children to the United States, and that I get to give this show to my family as a gift for their incredible sacrifice. This is really my love letter to them.
Gloria Calderon-Kellett is the executive producer and co-showrunner for One Day at a Time. Gloria, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.